Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, Kyrie Irving rumors continue to swirl. Is it possible for the Lakers to pull off a sign and trade? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcast. It's always going to be free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 17,000 subscribers. Lakers fans all talking about the offseason, leaving questions, talking to us, talking to each other. Please continue to do so, because especially now that we are into the offseason, your questions, your thoughts, your comments are going to be a really big driver of what we do on the show. Looking forward to the draft, looking forward to free agency, trade season, all that kind of stuff. Andy, speaking of which, it was a three-day weekend, a holiday weekend for everybody, but the rumor mill, Andy, does not take holidays.
No, not when it comes to the Lakers and Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie is going to remain connected in rumors to the Lakers as long as LeBron is a part of the squad, whether for the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 years or 2 to 3 weeks if he does decide to retire. But either or.
Nobody believes it still, but it's still out
no,
there.
No, I mean, and you and I have made it very clear, as much as we don't think this was complete smokescreen where we do bet, we are going to bet on LeBron returning. But either way, as long as LeBron is here, you will hear rumors of Kyrie, which led to a report by Mark Stein, a longtime NBA reporter, great Substack. Everybody should subscribe, particularly right around now, because if there's any team Mark Stein knows well, it is the Dallas Mavericks. And from a recent report in his Substack, he said, quote, "While we await a clear indication about the Lakers' intention there, with no verifiable signal to date that pursuing Irving is among their offseason priorities, league sources say that the Mavericks would have no interest in a sign and trade with the Lakers that features D'Angelo Russell as the primary Dallas-bound player. All indications are that the Mavericks remain intent on re-signing Irving."
So a few things about this, because, you know, the Kyrie, like you say, Kyrie will always be connected as long as LeBron is here. And to be fair, it's not just pure star bleepery that would get this. Like, you go back and you watch the highlights of the Denver series, and the utility of a Kyrie Irving in that lineup when the Lakers' backcourt scoring was such a problem, and, you know, the outside shooting was a problem. Like, you could see how Kyrie Irving, you know, all the stuff waves arms about aside, would have been a useful basketball player for the Lakers in that series. And so, you know, there's really only a couple ways to do it, though. The first one is you clear the decks and get rid of basically everything that isn't nailed down. And the Lakers, if they did
other than, just so it's clear, Austin Reeves in this equation would still be
available potentially, like, if they do things in the right order and all that, because his cap hold is quite small.
Right.
But everybody else got to go. So you're basically left with Christie Reeves, LeBron, and AD. That would still require Kyrie to take a significant pay cut under what he could get for the max. Lakers can really only free up, you know, a little over, I think, $30 million or something like that. Kyrie can earn 47. And so that's one way. The other way is what we were just talking about there with Mark Stein, which is a sign and trade that would send D'Angelo Russell and presumably sweetener draft picks and whatever back to Dallas for Kyrie, and the Lakers could sign him out for something better. There are other issues about hard caps and things like that that would come into play. For the sake of this, we will leave all that aside, Andy, because apparently they don't want to do that anyway, which kind of makes sense. I don't know why Dallas would necessarily want, if the goal is to appease Luka with the strongest team possible, swap out Kyrie for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I mean, putting aside what I imagine would be Dallas's reluctance to directly help make the Lakers better, much less better than the Mavericks, it like you said, it doesn't make sense for the Mavericks if they're trying to win now for Luka. Like, we've stressed this before. D'Angelo Russell is a good player, but he's not as good as Kyrie. Like, in a lot of respects, he's Kyrie light in terms of the things that D'Angelo does well, but not as good as Kyrie.
I see what you're saying. I understand what you mean by that. Yeah.
And they basically do the same things poorly, namely defense.
Look,
you know, even the picks that would be attached inevitably to D'Lo, you replenish some of what Dallas gave up to give Kyrie in the first place, but it probably, to make this worth Dallas's while, would require a third team that's D'Lo's actual landing spot, because it is an optical and basketball disaster to have essentially traded Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie on top of having lost Jalen Brunson for nothing, for a handful of Kyrie Irving games, missed playoffs, D'Angelo Russell on a long-term deal. Like, they're better off, Dallas, just clearing cap space and having a fuller choice of their options, letting Kyrie walk. Like, they're going to have more cap space in that situation. It becomes really complicated for Pelinka to get Kyrie via trade. It most likely requires him to walk specifically to the Lakers while giving up money in the process.
Right. And even, by the way, even in a sign and trade scenario, there's still a very good chance Kyrie would still have to take less money to make it not as much necessarily. The Lakers could put in Jared Vanderbilt. They could do other things, but it would still almost surely require him potentially at least to take less money. And it's just highly unrealistic. And like you say, you know, it's not a talent thing, because, you know, Kyrie is still one of the transcendent offensive players in the league. I mean, there's no question about it. And from a basketball standpoint, you know, the it's never been the issue that you can't picture Kyrie, LeBron, and Anthony Davis being an effective threesome. Like, that is from a purely basketball standpoint, but obviously nothing works in that way. You know, Kyrie's not likely going to sign a 2-year deal or a, you know, kind of align with LeBron and all that kind of stuff. He's going to be able to get what he wants from Dallas, I think. Because like you say, they are pot committed.
Oh, there's no way Kyrie is going to do all of this with a short-term deal on top of it.
Right.
Like, if he's going to give up the money to come to the Lakers, he is at minimum taking the max years.
Right.
Otherwise, this just becomes, frankly, stupid for Kyrie. He's better off just getting the deal from Dallas and then forcing his way out, you know, for the umpteenth time in his career.
Right. And so, you know, I agree with you. And I think, you know, the Lakers, both of us have said, we'll have more time to talk about this specific aspect of it as the offseason goes along, if the rumors heat up again for whatever reason, whatever it might be. But I you know, it's when you start to extend Kyrie past the window of LeBron and even the, you know, the window that you have with Anthony Davis, you are getting into some potentially dicey territory. The one thing, though, that I think this shines a light on is the Russell thing, because, you know, when you start to talk about packaging D'Angelo Russell in a sign and trade, well, now you're sort of estimating, well, how much is that going to cost? How much is he going to make? What's that look like? You know, because if it's not this sign and trade, Lakers fans want to figure out, maybe is there somewhere else the Lakers can send him? And without jumping into maybe some of the specific names, it gets into that money question with Russell. And so that's where I want to go next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Game Time. And years ago, some friends of mine and I, we wanted to go see LL Cool J really last minute at the House of Blues, no longer exists in LA. We didn't know how to get tickets because, again, last minute. So we went to a scalper. He sold us fake tickets. We were suckers. We managed to get into this concert through some like last minute total luck. But I was like, I am never going through that experience again. And I don't have to. And that's why I love Game Time. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy shows, and theater near you. With killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun. And you get images of seat views, which is great because you don't want a bad angle. You get the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, and the Game Time guarantee means you will always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section or row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Buy two tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, tickets go directly to your phone, and you are set. Snag the tickets without the stress using Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Okay, so one of the things that I think is kind of is fascinating to me about the Russell thing. I am 100%, I know, much more a proponent of bringing back Russell, not just for the salary and the so the asset management aspects of it, but also for the player, than I know a lot of other, not just Lakers fans, but quite frankly, basketball media. There are a lot of people who just don't think he's that good. And some of this, Andy, gets to, okay, how much? Like, what are we talking about here? Because D'Angelo Russell's obviously coming off of a max deal where he's making $30 million. And, you know, everybody, and I agree, he's not worth $30 million. You know, like, he's not going to, like, he wants the max contract and the Lakers can't give that to him. Well, sure. I also want a max contract from the Lakers and I'm not getting that either. So I for starters, the whole notion of a max deal for Russell, I think, is something that ought to just be taken off the conversational table.
This whole notion, I've seen it talked a little bit among NBA media, but it's largely just people either hitting us up on Twitter at Cam Brothers or talking about it in the Locked On Lakers YouTube comments section. This idea that D'Angelo Russell is going to be seeking $30 million, which is roughly what he makes now, and that if the Lakers aren't going to offer him that, he's going to be looking somewhere else. And this is the deal. Unless D'Angelo Russell finds a different line of work that pays him $30 million a year, he's not going to be getting that anywhere, including the NBA. And I think it's important for people to remember a very big reason D'Angelo Russell had the salary that he's coming off now is when Kevin Durant forced his way to the Nets from the Warriors. The Warriors wanted to keep that salary slot as live as possible because they knew that the cap space, you know, just Durant coming off their books was not going to do anything for them in terms of team building. They needed a live contract. So they did a double sign and trade with D'Angelo Russell, and they needed it to be as close to Durant's salary as was CBA legal. And while D'Lo was coming off a good season with the Nets, it was not that good of a year, particularly for a player like D'Angelo Russell, who's always been very polarizing around the league. Now, does that mean that D'Angelo Russell, you know, isn't a good player in his own right? No, he's a good player. And I think I agree with Brian. He's been underrated in certain quarters. But the whole D'Angelo Russell $30 million thing, that's fiction.
No,
it's not something to worry about. Right.
The question is much more, are we talking 25? Are we talking 20? Are we talking 2 years? Are we talking 3 years? I mean, I people will find this out throughout the entire offseason. I'll say it now. I'll say it, you know, the everydayers might get sick of it. I am really bad at the how much is blank going to get game. There's always somebody who surprises you, and there are always people who don't seem to get what you would expect. And I just think he's not the kind of player that if you are a team with cap space is going to get super excited to throw a lot of money at him. You know, especially like I don't know what his market is, because I think he is one of these guys that has been exposed as a very good player, but not one that is going to, you know, join your superstar group. Like, he's not that good. He's not going to ascend into a superstar, I think, anymore. He's got his defensive issues are such that if you're a really good team, you have to be aware of them and understand that in the playoffs, there are going to be series where he's harder to play. Denver for this series was one of those for the Lakers. It was made harder by the fact that he shot 13% from 3-point range. Like, if Russell shoots 36% from three against the Nuggets, he can probably play 25 minutes a game in this series. So if the Lakers could bring him back at, let's, you know, 2 and 45, you know, 22 and a half a year, I just don't see how you don't do that. Like, I don't, you know, for a team that needs excellent regular season players and real depth, because another thing that was talked about over the weekend, LeBron James might need, as we've mentioned a few times, and but like, you know, more firm reporting, he might need offseason foot surgery. If that's the case, LeBron has said, I'll be ready for training camp. Nobody will know. But like, you're going to want to ramp that up. You're going to want to take your time the first 6 or 8 weeks of the season. If LeBron has offseason foot surgery, might be something where you hold him back a little bit. And so you want to be extra cautious. If that's the case, you need as many players as possible. And Russell is certainly a very good regular season NBA player. So I get the anger about how his season ended. But what I don't understand is, like, there's a little too much recency bias here, where the last series that he had against the Nuggets erases the other ones. Where he wasn't perfect against Golden State, but he was a big reason they won the series. He wasn't perfect against the Grizzlies, but, you know, he had some really important moments in there too, where his skill set came in handy. So, I mean, if I had to guess, tell me if you think I'm wrong, Andy, but if I'm thinking somewhere like in the neighborhood of $20 million a year is probably what he costs. I think he has more value to the Lakers. I think the Lakers would give him more than he can get somewhere else. And there's probably some wiggle room in there about years and money and all that, because ultimately he'll do better here than somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, I tend to think I'm pretty good at predicting salaries, and I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere between 15 to 20, particularly if the years go longer. I was online talking
3 years at 18 with like a fourth of the player option or something like that.
I was talking with Anthony Irwin, the former co-host of this show, now hosting the Lakers Lounge, and we were talking a little bit about D'Lo's future salary, and we both sort of landed on what I think would be a good guideline for trying to anticipate it. The more money I think D'Lo gets per year in a contract, the less total control he'll have over the contract. Like, if say he was getting 25 a year, it wouldn't be for longer than 2 years. And the second year of that deal would probably either be a team option or only partially guaranteed, something like that.
Right.
So I think in certain respects, it would be about whether D'Angelo prioritizes, you know, higher yearly salaries that he has less control over versus less annual salary but longer guarantees. I think unless it's a very short deal, he's not going to be making more than 20 a year. I think it's going to be somewhere between 15 and 20, in part because, as you alluded to before, there's not really another team around the league that's really in a place to pay him as much as the Lakers. I think he will have offers, but I don't think it's going to be a particularly robust market.
No, I feel like he's the kind of guy teams will try to see if they can get on a cheap market, you know, a non-taxpayer mid-level type thing. Like, I think teams are going to kick the tires and, you know, think, you know, see if we can get him on a bargain, because there's a number at which, you know, you're paying D'Angelo Russell $12 million a year, you know, whatever it is. That is a steal by NBA.
No, that's fantastic. But I if they let D'Lo walk, people need to understand this. There's no, unless they get really lucky on a bargain bin guy, there is no real mechanism for replacing him. And there's no team that I think is better equipped or needs to pay D'Lo more. So in a lot of ways, they're an imperfect match that I think does provide more good than bad for each other. And I think ultimately it's going to be like a, kind of like a marriage of semi-convenience, where, you know, there's some love, some affection, but you're always kind of looking around thinking, I could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Rui too. And, you know, because he's another guy who is almost, it's the exact opposite of the D'Angelo Russell market de-escalation, because he's a guy who's suddenly going to has earned himself a lot of money in the playoffs. And there's sort of an interesting contrast there that I want to talk about. So we'll get to that next. Quick reminder, Locked On Lakers today brought to you by the Game Time app. Download Game Time today, create an account, use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. So like it, the sign and trade thing, whether it's sign and trades, the trading of you know some of these different assets the Lakers have given themselves, whether it's Malik Beasley, whether it's Mo Bamba, whether it's D'Angelo Russell in a sign and trade, all that kind of stuff. I've seen, you know, the names that are going to start popping up. And I think currently, as Andy, this is going to surprise you, Lakers fans are currently underselling what it might take to get some of these players. I saw people talking about over the weekend, Beasley and a pick essentially for Miles, Beasley Bomb and a pick for Miles Turner. I mean, it's a good deal for the Lakers. Excellent deal for the Lakers. I cannot understand. I don't think Indiana's going to be doing that. They just signed the guy.
I mean,
they are going to trade him. It ain't going to be for that package.
Unless they're doing this because they plan to liquidate the franchise and take the markdown, like what the hell would be the incentive for that?
No, but I've seen, you know, Buddy Hield is a name that is thrown out. That one makes a little bit more sense with how they're constructing that roster and some of the young players they have coming up. Hield already coming off the bench. And that I can see a little bit, like players like that, or Gary Trent or Van Vliet is somebody else that you mentioned. Like there will be names that are thrown around. And we'll certainly dive into all that, as you know, once the finals are over, you start getting closer to draft and trades and things like that. The other player though, that I think is really interesting in all this is Hachimura, because when the Lakers got him, quick coda on, you know, to finish this Russell thing. He wasn't even asking for $30 million from Minnesota. Like, apparently his asking price was somewhere around 25. So, and the Timberwolves were like, no, we're not doing that. So again, he's not getting 30. Don't
for
worry
an
about
extension
it,
to right, clarify right. What you're talking about.
But you know, so don't worry, Lakers fans, it's not going to be 30. And so, but the aesthetics of that do make a difference. I think if the Lakers were paying him 19 or 18, people would feel a lot different about him going into next year. But it's a good seg to Hachimura, because when the Lakers got him, I think the prevailing thought was like, okay, you know, $10 million a year probably is enough to get Hachimura based on his career to this point. Like if you're interested in re-signing him, you know, 8 to 12, somewhere in that $10 million range, that has gone up significantly in the postseason. You would agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, these playoffs, I mean – his regular season with the Lakers, but especially the playoffs, I think league-wide has been considered either a big-time revelation for Rui Hachimura or a big-time small sample size theater, don't get fooled. Either way, everybody has acknowledged this was a very different version of Rui Hachimura. Like when the Lakers made this deal, it was generally praised, but I think it was largely the idea of, all right, you're giving up Kendrick Nunn, who's not part of the future, barely plays, a couple second-round picks for a better player than Kendrick Nunn.
Right. You get a free look at a young player that you can then control with his bird rights. But the part that I think is obviously interesting is in the same way that Russell that you mentioned is a sort of small sample size theater is because there were moments during the regular season with Hachimura where, you know, I remember we did a show where we were talking like, I'm wondering if he's playing his way out of utility, you know, like, is he going to be someone the Lakers have to keep? Like, you know, because he wasn't playing as much and his place in the rotation looked a little tenuous and all that. And
well, I mean, I kept wondering why he wasn't playing. So
that's different. That's a different question. Okay. You know, then like, you know, are they really, you know, is he playing well enough? Is he playing enough that you would give him $12 million or 10? And, you know, you have the trick in all of these things is, you know, I would be nervous personally about giving Hachimura 3 years at $18 million a year or something like that, and being 100% comfortable that he was going to play to that contract. Like, that you were like, I am really confident that Austin Reeves is going to play to whatever deal he gets. You know, I believe very much in his skill set, in the talent, in the variety of talent, and all of that stuff. I think he's just, I believe that. I believe in that. You know, that the last, if somebody puts a balloon payment in there where he's making 22 a year in the last 2 years, I think he will be a $22 million player. I'm not quite there yet on Rui. I would sign him because I think they kind of have to. And he does fit really nicely with LeBron, with AD. He gives them, you know, a front court presence that that can score, that can take some of that. Like, I really do like him. But I'm not 100% sure that you don't turn around in 2 years going, man, the Lakers. Because he's had moments in Washington even where he looked great for a month and a half and then disappeared and all that. I think a lot of that has to do with the Wizards.
I was going to say,
I just think it's an interesting contrast to me.
Well, it's a big question about the value of fresh start and like how much you need, how much a new environment, new structure can mean to a young player.
Context, you know, and how you're being used and with whom.
Yeah, but I mean, all that stuff matters. Being around, you know, better players with LeBron and Anthony Davis, and I think better structure than he often had with the Wizards, which was a, you know, revolving door of coaches, revolving door of lineups. You know, there has always been the question of what direction are they even going in. You know, Rui during the 2022 season also was dealing with a personal issue that kept him away from the team for a while. And I don't know what the issue was, much less how much it directly, if at all, had anything to do with the Wizards or the environment of the Wizards. But sometimes people just need a different setting, you know, just like a different atmosphere for a lot of different reasons. And sometimes that can be real, you know, I mean, right down to, it might be beneficial for Rui Hachimura to no longer have to live up to ninth overall pick.
There's like, that. I don't. I think it's the same. The Lakers are trying to solve the same puzzle with Hachimura as they are with Russell, which is, you know, different kinds of role players. They play different positions or whatever, but they are ultimately role players on a play on a team like this. They are not expected to be stars. Nobody's going to expect either one of them to make an all-star team. And if you decide, like, part of what makes Reeves valuable is that you can put him on the ball as much as you can. If you sign a different point guard, Russell, you know, people make a big deal out of this. You know, D'Angelo doesn't want to be a point guard. He doesn't call himself a point guard. He's just a player or whatever. But he actually is a really good fit in a backcourt that also includes Reeves, in a front court that includes LeBron and all that, because he is a clever pick and roll player, but also a good spot up shooter, and is like, you know, and can catch and shoot and can do those things and can move the ball and all that stuff. He's not a point guard whose value comes only in having the ball in his hands. If you're going to invest a lot in Reeves, you need to put another guard next to him that fits with Reeves. If you're going to invest in Hachimura, it has to be in, like, Rui, same player, same whatever, goes to another team, might not perform as well. Put him with the Lakers, that setup with LeBron, with Anthony Davis, with the other guys around him, it's a better fit. It is really tricky for the front office to make those calculations with role players. And getting it right and getting it wrong is something that we see happening all the time across the league. And letting one of them go influences, in some ways, the other guys. So it is an ecosystem that my last thing here, and we can go. We get to, you know, Howard Beck again for Wednesday's show. The Lakers have built an ecosystem, not just a, you know, roster of individual players. And they need to respect the full ecosystem and understand how removing and inserting different players impacts that, especially with the role guys.
Well, I mean, the two things quick I would say before we go in that. First of all, when you mention, you know, determining who you keep, if they let Rui go, I think it becomes much more likely that they're letting D'Angelo Russell go.
Well, I think if they let Rui go, they're letting everyone go. I agree with you.
Right. And they're going to be looking to clear the decks for Kyrie, for Fred VanVleet, for somebody else. But I would imagine Rui in a lot of ways is going to be a bellwether for the concept of continuity with this team. The other thing, though, that's interesting when you talk about just like the value of role players fitting alongside certain teams better than others. I was looking at Rui's numbers and like even going through like the per 36, the advance and stuff like that. They're more or less the same as the numbers in Washington. Like he played in a way that seemed a lot better and more useful and more valuable with the Lakers. And, you know, there was, you know, a few series, like example, you know, first round against Memphis, where he looked like a finals MVP type caliber, but player. But for the most part, his production was actually pretty simple. I was kind of surprised by this. Sometimes it's not what you produce, it's where you're producing it, how and alongside whom.
Right. And you know, Rui filled a very specific hole that the Lakers mm-hmm. had. And so, like, again, it's what I think is this is what's fascinating about roster construction. But let's save that for later in the week, because I want to go through that stuff again about Rui, like kind of what you're uncovering here. And because I think it's that's something I didn't really have looked at
surprised.
And realized. So let's save that, and we'll come back to that later in the week and try to figure out, like, you know, the $18 million that Lakers might have to pay Hachimura probably looks a lot different than his value for $18 million with Washington or with a different team. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show and leave us questions, comments. What do you think about Rui? What do you think about no sign and trade for Irving, about, you know, D'Lo at 20 versus D'Angelo at 25, all of that stuff. Leave us questions, leave us comments. Reminder for the everydayers, Howard Beck on Wednesday. We'll see everyone tomorrow.